Hey y'all, I'm KJ and welcome to Midwest Bias. Oh man, where do I start? Well, I'm sitting here looking out my window, about an hour 15 southeast of Minneapolis, looking at the idyllic countryside with my red barn and horse pasture. But in reality, things are far from idyllic in the Midwest right now. Man, the Midwest, specifically Minnesota, is in the news again this week. It happened again. A white member of the police shot a black man, Dante Wright, during a traffic stop. Not even 10 miles from Minneapolis, where the trial of Derek Chauvin was currently taking place and is still taking place. Will it ever end? It's just unbelievable to me. I mean, at the same time, though, it's not really all that unbelievable. It's devastating. It's infuriating. It's shameful. It's sickening. A few weeks ago, we said on this podcast that a misconception of the Midwest is that we're all white here and there's no diversity. Anyway, we said that wasn't true. And it's not, especially in the bigger cities like Minneapolis, St. Paul. Minnesota is a melting pot. But man, it's clear not everyone is willing to take a turn doing the stirring. In talking with friends after this happened, I was telling them how ashamed I was of Minnesota. You know, it's kind of odd, this feeling that I have, that others will think that anything that happens in Minnesota represents all the personal characters or beliefs of the people that make it up. Because that's ridiculous, and I do know that. In fact, you only have to look as far as the protests and protesters not even a year ago after the George Floyd murder to know that. I think I texted a few people something like, I love where I live, but some really bad eggs are making the whole state rotten. And one of my buddies, responded that this happens in every state. And yes, I do know that to be true, but this time, it happened again here. It happened again here. Now, I'm recording this before a lot of the details have come out, so, a lot could probably change by the time this actually gets posted. But from my understanding, the policewoman mistakenly used a gun instead of a taser. I saw the body cam footage and her reaction and her expletives and her shock, and I believe her that she screwed up. It seems like a very difficult mistake to make, a taser versus a gun, but I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know what it's like to be in a high-tension situation like that, because I don't. The thing is, though, should it have really been a high-tension situation? All the white people listening, ask yourself, how many times have you been pulled over by the police? Then ask yourself, how many times have you been pulled over for expired tabs? For an air freshener or anything hanging from your mirror? I drive every day with an employee parking pass hanging from my mirror. It is made specifically to hang from a mirror. But that's illegal in Minnesota. I have never been stopped for that. So it seems right now that the police either stopped him for expired tabs or an air freshener hanging in the rearview mirror. Or hanging from the rearview mirror. Then after stopping him, they find out he has an outstanding warrant for something and they try to bring him in and then, well, we all know what happens. Seems to me that the quote-unquote reasons for pulling over Dante Wright in the first place were manufactured reasons, and perhaps the police officer already had predetermined who she thought might be behind the wheel of the car, or maybe she saw him. And yes, expired tabs are a legitimate reason to pull someone over. The other two are, in my opinion, just good old-fashioned racial profiling quote-unquote reasons to me. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that no white person ever has been pulled over at all, or for expired tabs, or for something hanging in the rearview mirror. I'm just saying, anecdotally, that my bet would be that white people do not get pulled over for these things nearly as much as black people, and I would even wager to guess that these things are often used as a pretext to pull over black drivers. But you have to wonder, was the expired tab the first thing that they noticed? I just doubt it. So while I believe her that shooting Dante Wright was an accident, I don't believe that the initial act of finding a way to pull him over simply because he was black was an accident. Even if it was a subconscious thing on their part, why are we pulling out guns? And of course, that brings up the whole subject of guns in this country's fascination with them. Imagine what it would be like if police didn't carry guns. But I understand that as long as our populace is full of guns, that won't change. So I'm not going to get started on that. But something's got to change. It's time for a complete overhaul of the system of policing. Way past time to start over. And look, there are people far smarter and far more qualified than I talking on TV, radio, podcasts, you name it, about this subject. And presumably, you came to this podcast for a lighter tone. So I'm going to move on now. But it just didn't feel right to start this show any other way. I told you in the announcement episode of this podcast that I might get serious once in a while. And if so, I'd do it here and then I'd move on. Well, I guess I did it today. And now I'm moving on. So, moving on. Today's episode was always going to be different. Sort of an abridged show, even before Dante Wright was killed. That was just my plan. But instead of an abridged show, let's call it a bonus episode. And I'll tell you now, there will be no show next week. I know there are some folks that are just finding the podcast that could use an extra week to catch up. And I'm just going to be nice and give you that extra week. All right, now after this serious stuff, I'm going to read a few new podcast reviews we received last week. The first one, it's kind of funny because it actually mentions the fact that this person listens to get away from the more serious stuff or serious things we've got going on in the world. So sorry about that. Not today. Well, at least maybe not the first 5 minutes or so anyway. Here it is from EMAC57. I think I know who this is, but just in case I'm dead wrong, I won't guess. Feel free to fess up though, EMAC57. 5 stars. Title, Just Had Lunch. This is such a great podcast. It is fun to listen to KJ's melodic voice and hear content that is fun, funny, and a great distraction from the heavier subjects of today. It is great to ponder the little things that litter my mind. And she adds in parentheses, a secret habit that I've had all my grown life. She has great guests with fun topics that add interest and information. Thank you, EMAC57. I will say I've never had anybody say I have a melodic voice, but I'll take it. Thank you. The next one is entitled Stadium Visits, 5 stars, from Emerald City Oz. And I am pretty confident about this one, that this is Steve Osbold. Steve says, I roll with Kim Wilson in her case of attending a game at Jacobs Field in the home of Bucky, Camp Randall Stadium. They count as a visit since she attended a game there. They are, by definition, quote, multi-purpose stadiums, end quote, because they hosted multiple sporting events. I stopped by Turner Field and Busch Stadium, but no game was going on, so those don't count. P.S. Cheese curds rule. Hashtag Midwest bias. Thank you, Steve. I'll take any type of... Steve doesn't really give us a review other than he rolls with Kim Wilson, and that's fine. He gave us a 5-star review and he took the time to do it. I'm cool with that. So EMAC57 and Emerald City Oz Steve Osbold, you get a name drop.
It's the name drop of the week.
All right, guys, thanks again for taking the time to rate and review. We're now in the double digits for ratings. Keep those 5-star reviews coming. If you've left a review and I've missed it, let me know. Tweet us at Midwest Bias Pod or me at Buffalo_Alice or email to MidwestBiasPod@gmail.com. And one more thing before we move on to the next segment. Bob Walsh has asked me to make an announcement for all you listeners who are Tony Kornheiser littles. So I'll read that and tell you to mark your calendars for the Summer of Littles 3.1. Bob says, as previously announced, COVID permitting, the Summer of Littles 3.1 will be held on Saturday, August 7th. Details will follow, but we already have confirmed venues in Denver, Colorado, Laytonsville, Maryland, Frankfort, Michigan, Cincinnati, Ohio, New York, New York, Orlando, Florida, Wethersfield, Connecticut, and Indianapolis, Indiana. And I'm going to add here, I see Frankfort, Michigan, and Indianapolis, Indiana. I'm going to throw in 2 Midwest meetings, and maybe Cincinnati, Ohio can be thrown in there too. Okay, back to Bob. Didn't hear a venue close to you? Consider hosting a venue in your locale. Get more information by emailing your interest to summeroflittles2, that's the number 2, summeroflittles2@gmail.com, or reaching out on Twitter @summerlittles2, again the number, @summerlittles2. So, mark your calendars, littles. All right, let's move on to our next segment. I really need a beer after that, so lucky me, I'm going to get 3 of them.
Taste test with a Hall of Famer.
Okay, yes, it is time for the taste test with the Hall of Famer. And we're going to start videotaping this segment again in just a second. So if you want to watch the video, press stop now. Head on over to my YouTube channel, which is KJO, and click on the latest Taste Test with the Hall of Famer video. As always, I'll put a link to the video in the show notes at the end, and I'll provide a time code to return to the podcast so you don't miss a thing. We're going to finish off the Colorado Brews, courtesy of Ed Butt today.
Thanks, Ed.
And we're going to try 3. We have 3 left. We're going to try 3. Now, Todd Takei. Oh, hang on.
It's the name drop of the week.
Todd said that the dark brews are supposed to be served at room temperature, or at least not right out of the refrigerator. But warm beer just sounds disgusting to me.
Yes.
So a little compromise. We pulled out the 2 darker beers that are remaining from the fridge about 20 minutes ago. So they're not completely warm, but they're not completely cold. And that is my compromise because that's about as good as I'll ever get. Warm beer, no.
That's a fair compromise.
I think so. All right, let's turn the video on and drink some beer. So we're going to use 2 glasses today. One, the Twins glass.
That's all you need.
Even though they lost today.
Brutal.
Yep. And then the other one is the Jingle Fest Implausibly Alive little baby glass. I believe I had that, it says on the glass. Okay, so the first, well, maybe we should review the cheesy rating system that we're not going to use first.
Definitely.
All right, 0 stars-ish.
I see an ish coming in my future.
Because of the 2 darks?
Yeah.
So we're going to, we think the way to properly do this is to do the 2 darks, go from dark to light.
No, that's what you think.
Oh, what do you think?
I thought it was light to dark.
All right, so we're going to do what she says, because happy life, happy wife. Happy wife,
there it
happy
is.
Life.
There it is.
Okay. So 0 star-ish, 1 star criminy, 2 star oofda, 3 star, it's interesting, more of a neutral, 4 star, ah geez, that's good, and 5 star, you betcha. All right, so go ahead and explain the first beer, show it to the video, and we'll go
first
from there.
One is from Wibby again, from Longmont, and it is a Pilsner, so I'm very excited about that. Plus, it says home team Pilsner, makes me feel like baseball and team sports, and so I'm already interested in this one. And I generally am a fan of the Pilsner, so I'm feeling pretty good about it.
Okay.
All right. I know I've learned don't pour very much.
Yeah.
When we go to taste test. Crack it open, baby.
Oh.
It's on the floor.
All right, ready?
Yep. Ooh, yep, that's light. Okay. I think I'm going to take over the opening and pouring duties from now on.
Okay, go ahead.
All right.
Why do you always sniff it? Is that what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, no, probably not.
I sniff wine. I don't, and hard liquor, but.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's not on the rating system.
No, but it's, I need one more. It's nice and light. Good summery drink. Not overwhelming. Nice finish. I would definitely give that. I'd give that probably a 3.5.
Oh, all right.
So interesting.
I'm
more.
Not...
It's more than interesting though. So I don't know.
Between interesting and ah, geez, it's good.
Yeah. I'm going with a 4 here, Ed. Well done. That's an ah, geez, man. That's good.
I don't think it's gonna be an ah, geez for me. If
no,
you
but
like
I think
it,
you're gonna. I think you'll be interested.
No.
Or not.
No, that tastes like all the beers that I don't like. Like, that tastes like when I think of beer, which is the reason I've steered clear of beer all these years. I wonder what else, other rhymes I can get in there. I steered clear of beer all these years. I told you, dear.
It brings me to tears.
So, this is not a good tasting beer to me.
Oh, I'll take it.
I guess I would. Great to me. I don't know about ish, but I'm definitely going to give it a 1-star criminy. Mm.
That's good. That's a good beverage right there.
Okay, so you're going to drink the rest of that.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Now let's use the other glass because I don't want any remnants of that.
I don't mind remnants. We'll save that for our dessert beer coming up.
What do you think the next darkest is? Next lightest?
I think we'll be, because the next one makes me think of like dessert, so I'm putting that one last. We're doing the Moon Door Dunkel. We had a different kind of dunkel, didn't we?
The double dunkel.
Double dunkel. Now we got the Moon Door Dunkel. I don't know what it is about the dunkel, but...
Well, I think it's a dark. I think Ed Butt told me that dunkel in German means dark.
Oh, well, there it is. A lesson learned. Okay, this one definitely gets some awards. It's a 2017 Silver Award at the Great American Beer Festival. So that should be interesting. But it is a velvety, dark, and supple beer.
Sounds great. Pop it open.
Sounds like a 2 to me.
You took away...
At best.
You took away my duties.
Yeah, you were bad at it. It's okay, though. You can't be good at everything.
That's funny, right?
Yeah, probably. Because I probably won't like it.
I guess I'll sniff it.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, it doesn't smell good. I guess
people only
do
that with wine, right?
It doesn't smell good, so. Here we go.
Smells can be deceiving. How about that?
I might have to take another sip.
Do it.
Yeah, I think I like that double dunkel better than this. Mm. I bet you're going to like this better than
really?
Double. Let me give my rating. 2-star oofta.
Mm. You're right, that doesn't smell good. Actually, it doesn't taste too bad.
See, I figured you'd like it. It tastes more beery like the Pilsner.
Not a fan of the aftertaste. It just hangs with you. It's like in my throat. But I'm going to drink it again. Definitely not an ish.
Okay.
I'm reserving my ish for the next one.
You don't even know yet.
I just have a feeling.
Well, Ed thought you wouldn't like it.
Yeah, well, so. Ed, you know what's up. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give that, what's a 2? I'm thinking of it a 2.
Ufta.
Really? Yeah. Ufta? Mm. I'm going to give it a ufta.
Okay.
It's definitely not interesting, but it's not an ish. I'm going straight up 2.
Yeah, interesting is 3.
Yeah, it's one above ufta. It's not a 3. Okay.
Right. Well, who's going to drink that one?
You.
I gave it
Somebody's made double fisting tonight.
Didn't I give it a criminy? If I give it a criminy and you give it 1-star up, you're drinking it.
Oh, man.
You can do it.
I don't think so. I'm a lightweight.
I was drunk last time.
I'm a one and done.
So it's your turn. All
right, let's go back to this bad boy. All right, now.
Back to the twins glass?
Yep, back to the twins glass.
You think that'll affect how much you like it if it's coming out of a twins glass?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Final beer.
From a different brewery, from the Denver Beer Company. All right. This is a peanut butter graham cracker porter. I'm a little nervous about this. All right, here's what it says. Damn Skippy, it's smooth. Denver, Colorado. Peanut butter is our jam. Oh, boy.
So damn Skippy. I think that's a play on the Skippy peanut butter. That's a guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's a fair guess.
It says cozy up by the fire. Okay. Let's just go for it. Let's see what happens.
Pop it open.
I don't think I've ever had a... peanut buttery.
You're no better at this. You got me.
Oh. I got a little taste of the... They aren't kidding with the peanut... Oh, okay, that's dark. Oh, all right. Ed, I think you're going to get this one right. I could...
You mean that you don't like it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll find out. Okay. I can't believe you sniff it.
Hmm. It's quite smooth. Yeah.
One of the beer experts...
Interesting.
One of the beer experts out there, will you tell us if we're supposed to sniff beer or not?
Probably not.
My guess is... Where's your rating? It
seems like fun.
Do you need another one?
No. No, it's a criminy.
You said it was smooth. Now you're giving it criminy?
It's smooth, but still not very good.
Okay. Well,
smoothly
which one,
gross.
Between the Pilsner... I know you like the Pilsner the best.
Yeah, absolutely.
The Moondor Dunkel versus the...
Oh, man. I don't like either one of
them. Peanut butter graham cracker.
Well, I gave the other one... What's a criminy?
Oh, my gosh. Now that...
I thought a criminy was a 2.
Criminy is a 1-star. Oh, 0-star-ish. Oh,
that's right. That's right. I forget we can give it a 0. I'm going criminy on that one.
Okay. So you like that the worst.
I guess.
Well, it certainly smells like peanut butter. Now, I don't understand...
It's a bad taste.
I don't understand why you wouldn't try to smell this, because it smells like peanut butter. So now I'm sort of, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? I'm sort of questioning whether or not I was wrong before to tell you you shouldn't be smelling these.
It's kind of fun.
All right, here we go.
Get a little something from it.
You know what? That tastes like Reese's peanut butter cups in a beer.
Which should not happen.
It really shouldn't. But no. It's the winner of the night for me. Ding, 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 ding.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I gave that other one a 4. Ah, geez, it's good, didn't I?
I don't know. I don't know.
No, you gave the Pilsner.
Yeah, I gave that one a 4.
I'm going to go with, ah, geez, it's good with this peanut butter graham cracker.
So we have 2 winners here. We have the Pilsner, home team Pilsner. For me, the Twins girl right here.
And for me, also in using a Twins glass.
But I got my Twins hat on.
Okay, the Carhartt girl.
There you go.
Peanut butter graham cracker from Denver Beer Company.
Wow.
Hey, look out. We're going to Denver in October.
Yep.
Cheers.
Thank you. Looks like Rue gets to drink this one.
No, we're not giving the dog any beer. All right.
Ed, thank you.
So that is it. I mean, we're all out of Ed's beer.
Mm.
So I want to say thank you again, Ed, for sending us those beers. It's been really fun to taste them. If anybody has any suggestions, we're out of things to taste test. So if anybody has any suggestions, it doesn't have to be beer. It could be anything. So we may not take you up on
anything
those suggestions,
good.
But you know, if you have some, let us know and we'll keep this taste test with the Hall of Famer going. All right. Do you need to clean out your palate?
No.
Okay. Well,
feeling good.
All right. Well, I'm going to finish my peanut butter graham cracker and we'll be right back.
All right.
It's time for Rachel Reports. Rachel Reports. Rachel Reports. She reports.
Okay, you heard the song. It's time for Rachel Reports. Now, who is Rachel, you might be asking? Well, speaking of tangents, listeners may remember me mentioning her from time to time on that podcast. And some of you Tony Kornheiser littles that are listening, you may have met her because she came to Jingle Fest 2 with me. Now, that's a true friend right there. She's a non-little, and she came to D.C. with me to see Jingle Fest. And most amazingly, she remains my friend today after seeing Jingle Fest. Rachel is a native Midwesterner from Wisconsin, but lived in Minnesota for a long time now. She's an original Boundary Water babe. And Rachel is here to report to us about the Minnesota Twins home opener last week. Because she was there. So without any more delay, let's bring on Rachel.
Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for coming on with me. Yeah, don't you think that you're like true friend status if you come to Jingle Fest?
Definitely.
I mean, I have a photo of you watching the Schitt's break. Wait, what's it called? Schitt's break. Not the Schitt's, but I think I'll have to leave that in. I have a photo of you watching the Schitt's break, and the look on your face is priceless, and it says everything. I wish I could find it. I'm going to look for it. Anyway, let's move on to my questions. Unless you have something to say about the Schitt's
No, I think you've got the title just right there, at least for me.
Okay. Let's get to my burning questions about the Twins home opener. So mainly I just want to know how it went with COVID because, you know, there hasn't been any baseball there with fans since 2019, I guess. So yep. We're going to go through rapid fire style these questions, probably. First question. How was getting into the ballpark? How was security? Was it indeed contactless entry?
It was. I will tell you, it was easier in the past. You know, previously you had to take all the stuff out of your pockets and everything, and mm-hmm. they just waved you right through. There wasn't any issues. Yeah, it was super, super easy.
But you had to go through the metal detectors, correct? Okay, because otherwise you could bring whatever you wanted in there and then, oh, come on in, welcome.
Exactly. Yeah, I left my phone and my keys and everything in my pockets, went right through the metal detector, very easy.
Nice. So what was it like, though? How did you manage not bringing any food or any bags? They didn't allow bags at all, right?
They did not.
Yeah. I mean, on opening day, don't you need like 8 blankets? At least I do. You know this for a fact. I need exactly. 8 blankets, sorrel boots, smart wool socks. I mean, I need it all. So how did you manage?
So I will tell you, there was some very strategic dressing going on. I was definitely wearing cargo pants and a very baggy jacket with many pockets filled. So you definitely had to think about things a little bit more, what was critical to bring in. So I probably looked like a snowman, but it worked. Bringing in food, you know, we usually try and sneak in some candy like at movie theaters, but apparently that's a no-go these days. So disappointing, not a huge deal, but...
Okay, so they didn't, because you had no bags, they couldn't search your bags, but they didn't search your person if you looked like you had
correct.
Cargo pants hanging on the ground with full of candy, but you didn't sneak any in.
No, I suppose you maybe could stuff a salad in your shirt. I'm not quite sure, but they certainly didn't search you. So I guess maybe you could bring something in.
Well, I have been known to bring a salad or two in.
Yep.
So what I want to know about the bag policy, though, were they strict about this? Because I was watching the home opener from home, and I saw a guy wearing a backpack. You know how they show the shots of the outside the field when fans are lining up to come to the game? And the guy had a huge backpack on his back, and I wondered how he was going to get past security. Did you see anyone that had snuck in bags?
I didn't see anyone who snuck in bags like that. I will admit that I snuck in a garbage bag because I knew it was going to rain. I wanted to put all my stuff in a bag.
Very smart.
Didn't see anybody with backpacks or anything like that.
So you did not witness any confiscations like backpacks or artisanal salad dressing, you know? No, you didn't witness anything?
No, I will say that going in, there was no line. We did not see anybody in our area going into the gate. We were there a little bit early. So in the past, there'd be a huge line of people you'd be following, mm-hmm. but there was literally mm-hmm. no one there. So maybe this illicit activity happened and I didn't see it, but it didn't happen when we went through.
Yeah, you got there early enough before the real criminals arrive.
Yep.
So how was the parking? You know, I always want to know about the parking. I bet you there were a ton more spaces this year available than in years past.
Yes. I was a little nervous just because we've had lots of issues in the past, mm-hmm. know, going downtown in the middle of a work day on a weekday. Yep. So I have a parking spot I usually like to go to, and they were really promoting paying ahead and reserving. That didn't work for me in the past. I would do that and the parking lots would be full. But I tried it this year. And it was great. Oh my gosh. There was like nobody in the parking garages. It was so sweet. It was super, super easy.
You had no need for my secret spot.
I did not.
This year there was no opening day souvenir. I think that's for the first time. Well, except for last year because there was no fans. But at least since Target Field's been open in, 11 years?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is probably, I'm thinking it's due to COVID and trying to remain, everything remaining contactless. But how did that feel? Did you notice that there was nobody? You didn't get a sweatshirt? You didn't get anything good?
No. So I was actually looking online beforehand to see, you know, because like you said, every single year you get something cool. Mm-hmm. So I was trying to peek around to see if there was anything. I couldn't find anything, hoping I had just missed it. And we walked in the door. I was with my mom and we promptly walk in and she's looking around and she's like, where's my free stuff?
Yeah.
So we definitely noticed. It was definitely a little disappointing. I thought they could have at least given us some hand sanitizer or something for opening day.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, we got absolutely nothing. So, or even a mask. Yeah.
But why couldn't they get, I understand they don't want you to just grab from the box. So you contactless, okay, well, let's put a box out there and let people just grab one item. Well, first of all, you get people to grab 20 items. Second of all, you got hands digging in the same box. But why couldn't they have just one? I suppose because that person's exposed to every single person that comes into the ballpark.
I guess so. And that might be the case because I did notice this year they're not allowing paper tickets and the ushers like didn't touch your phone or anything. You had to be the one to slide it under the scanner. So I think you're right. They were just totally avoiding any touching, but it was definitely a disappointment. We just wanted to show that we were there and I guess not this year.
Nope, not this year. But I guess that's kind of a good thing because you didn't have to worry about using any fake mustaches to get anything for free.
This is true. This is true. See,
always think on the positive. So how was the seating? Well, I mean, did you feel properly socially distanced?
I did. I will say the seating was awesome. I was a little worried about everybody having assigned seats and then nobody like following their assigned seats. Mm-hmm. But the seats that were not filled were zip tied. So you literally could not put the seats down.
Oh, you don't see that on TV.
Yeah. And then each row only had two parties in it. So you did not have to cross or crawl over people when you were entering and exiting.
Ooh, that's cheap.
Yeah. And so there was like literally no one in front of us. People behind us were like two rows back. And the people to our left were probably like 12 seats away. So it was really nice.
Well, that's interesting because I'm wondering if I've been watching games since and I see people like, let's say you're in row 8. Mm-hmm. And seat 13 and 15 or 13, 14, 15. And behind you in row 9, I've seen people in 13, 14, 15. And my thought was, well, maybe they're a pod, but why wouldn't they get in the same row if they're a pod? Like, why are they so close to each other? So I'm a little suspect that the rules have already started to, you know, not be followed. But hopefully
I'm wrong. Very possible. Yep.
That sounds like a dream scenario where you have the whole row to yourself, basically.
Well, and it was quite funny. In about the second inning, we were in the second row and the first row was all blocked off in front of us. So we had all our stuff on there and a couple came in where all our stuff was and they're like, this is our seat. This is our seat. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's zip tied. And they were off a section. So they were definitely in the wrong place. So,
okay. Well, I was going to say, I mean, did they think that you brought the zip tie from home and zip tied that whole row?
That would have been impressive. There were a lot of zip ties.
Did people seem to, like if you looked around or if you got up to use the facilities, did people seem to keep their masks on or were they misbehaving?
Yeah, so I would say up in the concourses where people were walking around, definitely everybody was behaving. Once I think people sat in their seats, they started off behaving. But once they started eating food, I would say it was about a 50% compliance. Our group tried pretty hard to follow that. But, you know, even if you're just taking a drink or something, I can't imagine eating a bag of peanuts and moving your mask every time. So I give people some credit for that. But yeah, there were definitely some people just sitting there without masks. But
the one good thing about, I honestly, you know how I've been over this pandemic, which is extremely cautious. And I even think that I don't think we would necessarily need masks outside when you're completely distanced from people. So it's interesting to me that they even actually make you wear masks outside.
Yep.
All right. Well, I can't believe I waited this long to ask you how the concessions were. I mean, I heard that there was an app that you used to order them and then that someone brought you them. Is that incorrect?
You know, I think there was. We went up to the concession stands and there were all these signs about something like that. We chose not to do that, but I think I may in the future. I would say of everything, the concessions were the biggest disappointment.
Oh, no. Like their quality of food or just how poorly it was run or
I would just say everything. So the first concession stand we went up to, I know. I appreciate they had plastic down to keep the distance, but you literally couldn't hear each other, which seemed challenging.
Yeah.
We ordered 4 hot dogs at the first stand. It took them about 10 minutes to figure out how to bring that up on the register. And then when we got the hot dogs, I'm pretty sure they were from a year ago. They were kind of more like beef jerky.
Oh, gross.
Which was pretty disappointing.
They were hard?
Yeah, they were definitely not very fresh.
Oh, no. That's
awful. And then, we went up to get our nachos because you got to have nachos at a Twins game. And
yes, you do.
We had to wait about 15 minutes because their meat wasn't done. We finally got the meat. I would say it was a tad chilly. And then the lady couldn't figure out how to use our discount card. Like, that's the point of being a season ticket holder. So
right, you get stuff like, the discounts off of the concessions.
Exactly. Man. So it was pretty disappointing. I want to give them some slack because it's the first game. At the same time, they've had like a year and a half to figure this out. So
come on. So you're going to try the app next time.
I think I may. I'm hoping it would be better.
Tell me about Twingo. Now, okay, before we get into this, do you think that I've been to a lot of different ballparks. I don't know that I've ever seen, I mean, obviously they wouldn't call it Twingo. Do you call it Twingo or Twingo, by the way?
I'm with you, Twingo.
Yeah, I call it Twingo, which is basically a portmanteau of twins and bingo. Now, I wonder if other ballparks do bingo, and they don't call it Twingo, obviously, or Twingo. but I mean, have you seen that ever at another ballpark, or is this unique to Target Field?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't recall. I can't say I was looking for it, but...
So for people that don't know, the Twins used to do paper bingo, or Twingo, that they would hand it out to you as you got into the ballpark, and basically baseball bingo, right?
Yep.
But then a couple years ago, they took the paper away completely to save the planet. And now it's via app, the ballpark app. And it used to be that if you won Twingo, you had to run like usually, Rachel, always on the other side, completely opposite from where our seats are. And if somebody won at the same time as you, it was like a race. And they did finally tell you, you know, Twingo is over. All the prizes have been claimed. I have never personally won Twingo in time to actually get a prize, but you have, and it was a sweet t-shirt.
Yeah, I've won twice, a t-shirt and a Papa John's pizza. So
Yeah. I've not won at all in time. I've gotten Twingo, but never gotten my ass all the way over there in time.
Yep.
But this year, they, again, probably COVID-related, you did tell me you won, but what did they do?
Yeah, well, and I'll tell you, I went into it thinking, oh man, there's only 10,000 fans here. I have a great chance of winning Twingo.
Yes.
So I certainly, I don't know, in the first, maybe the third inning, I had a bingo. And so I was all excited. I checked it out. And they said, you received 25 points towards your monthly total. And at the end of the month, the top like three people with points will get prizes. Which seems pretty lame to me.
Yeah, you know what? That means that if you don't, you're not going to go to another game in April. So if someone happens to, you know, go to two games, they're going to beat you. So now they're rewarding for the frequency of your game attendance, and that's just lame.
I think so, too. It was pretty disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. Worse or better than the concessions?
Oh, the concessions were much worse. Okay. This was disappointing, but I actually paid money for the concessions.
That's true. Good point. Okay, last question. You and I have been to opening day at Target Field together every year since 2010, except I think for the year that you were, you know, still in Africa. But, but other than that, I think we've gone every year, right?
Yep.
Okay. You predate the Hall of Famer.
I do. Yep.
So my question is, this year on opening day, did you miss me? What was it like to be there without me? Now, before you answer this question, I want to remind you where you get your Twins tickets and how you're able to get them before the general public and all the discount codes, etc.
Well, I will tell you that I did miss you a couple times.
Okay.
The first was walking from the parking lot to our seats. And thinking about how you always get sweaty because you're wearing so many clothes because it's so cold. So I thought, oh, there's KJ. I wonder where she is.
Yep. And then I get sweaty, but then I also get chilled once I'm at my seat.
Yes, exactly. Yep. Exactly. Right. And then the second time was during the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were together the year that the eagle that was flying over the field landed on the starting pitcher, I think for the Mariners, maybe?
Yeah, which is interesting because they opened with the Mariners this year, too. It was he's the big dude. He's not with the Mariners anymore. Oh, man, what's his name? Oh, his nickname is like the Big Maple. He's from Canada originally. I can't remember his name. But yeah, it landed on him. And that was hilarious. He's lucky he didn't get cut up.
Yep. So I definitely was thinking about you then. And then I have to tell you, they must have ran out of like songs this year, because I know your favorite song is the clapping cheer that they do.
Everybody clap your hands. Yeah. Yep, that's my favorite.
And they literally played that one 10 times, which I've never heard that many times. Every time it happened, my mom sitting next to me and I would do the KJ dance every time.
Outstanding. I think you represented well.
Yes.
You probably saved a lot of money on candy, though, because you always, not always, but a fair number of times, you bring candy and you bring our favorites. You bring the Hall of Famer hot tamales and you bring me milk duds. And then there's always some junior mints. So I bet you saved some money on that.
A little bit, I think so. Yep.
All right. Anything else that I'm missing that you want to tell me about on opening day? I mean, the Twins played great and they won. And they haven't been doing great since then.
Oh,
so we need to get you back to a game and get the mojo back.
I will just mention it was very cute, and it was very obvious that it was the first time the Twins had had people in the stadium, because I can't tell you how excited the ushers were and all of the Twins staff. They were so excited to see people and welcome you. Every single person I saw was like, oh, we're so happy you're here. And, you know, thanks for coming and everything, which, you know, they've done that some in the past, but it was literally every single person this year. So it was very sweet. I think everybody was ready to get back to baseball this year.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you very much for coming on and giving the Rachel report. And hopefully we'll be able to do this in the future.
Sure, why not? Sounds like fun.
All right, thanks a lot.
Yep, thank you.
Bye. Alrighty, thanks y'all for listening. You can find us on Twitter at Midwest Bias Pod. Please email your questions or discussion topics or comments. And remember, we have no show without them, so please email us at midwestbiaspod@gmail.com. Don't forget to subscribe. You can find us almost anywhere you get your podcasts. Also, if you like the podcast, please consider rating it and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts and any other podcast platforms that take reviews. I have never seen any, but that's probably because I listen to Apple Podcasts primarily. And thanks to those of you that have already taken the time to do this. It helps. Somehow, it does. And lastly, please also consider retweeting us and liking us on Twitter to help spread the word about the podcast. We want all the biases. Thank you. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Bye now.
You know, I was here first. Thank you very much.